Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the May NJEDA Telephonic Board Meeting. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Please be advised today's meeting is being recorded. When the chairman opens the public comment portion of the meeting, members of the public will be advised to press 1, then 0 on your telephone keypad to be placed into queue to speak and provide comment. You will be asked to provide your name and any organization with which you are affiliated. You may withdraw your question at any time by repeating the 1-0 command. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the numbers. If you should require assistance during the call, please press star and then 0. I would now like to turn the conference over to Chairman Kevin Quinn. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Operator. Tim, if you could read the open public meeting notice.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. In accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act, notice of this meeting has been sent to the Star Ledger and the Times at least 48 hours prior to this meeting, and a meeting notice has been posted on the Secretary of State's bulletin board at the Department of State. Back to you.
Great. Thank you, Tim. Manera, if we could do a roll call, please.
Yes. Chairman Kevin Quinn.
Here.
Vice Chairman Charles Sarlo.
Here.
Brian Wilson from the Governor's Office.
Here.
Banking Commissioner Marlene Caridi.
Present.
Labor Commissioner Robert Angelo.
Here.
Kathy Brennan for State Treasurer Elizabeth Moyo.
Here.
Elizabeth Dragon for DEP Commissioner LaTourette.
Here.
Phil Elagia. I don't think he's here. Virginia Bauer.
Here.
Fred Dumont.
Here.
Aisha Glover.
Present.
Rosemarie Hicks.
Here.
Marcia Marley.
Here.
Robert Chimko.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Manera. To kick off today, we have approval of the previous month's minutes, for the April 14th regular meeting minutes and the April 14th executive session meeting minutes. And as you know, when making a motion or a second, I'd ask the board members to please state their name. Can I get a motion to approve the April 14th meeting minutes?
Chair Fred Dumont.
Thank you, Fred. Can I get a second?
Marlene Caridi seconds.
Thank you, Marlene. Any discussion? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? For the record, I will abstain. I was not present at the April 14th board meeting. Can I get a motion to approve the April 14th executive session meeting minutes?
Jenny Bauer.
Marlene.
Thank you, Jenny. Can I get a second?
Marlene Caridi will second.
Thank you, Marlene. Any discussion? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? Again, for the record, I will abstain
Elizabeth
from voting
Dragon.
As I was not. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
I will abstain. I was not present.
Thank you. Now let me move to my remarks for this morning. I want to begin with a special thanks to Vice Chairman Charles Sarlo, who was pressed into duty at the last minute for our April 14th board meeting. I had a family emergency and needed to travel out of state. And Charles, I want to thank you for that. You had next to no advance notice.
You're welcome, Chairman.
Now, as more businesses are able to reopen, we anticipate a strong economic recovery from the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. The NJEDA continues to provide relief for businesses to help them overcome the challenges of the past year. We're currently accepting applications for Phase 4 of the Small Business Emergency Assistance Grant Program. More than 34,000 businesses have pre-registered for Phase 4 grants. On Friday, Governor Murphy announced an additional $235 million in small business assistance. $200 million will be used to fulfill all eligible Phase 4 grant applications, in addition to the existing $85 million available for the program. The additional funding will be broken out by sector as follows. Microbusinesses, $120 million. Bars and restaurants, $20 million. Child care facilities, $10 million. Other small businesses and nonprofits, $50 million. The NJEDA will begin accepting applications for the extended Phase 4 in the near future. The remaining $35 million will be used to support new businesses and startups at $25 million and an expansion of Sustain and Serve New Jersey at $10 million. I'd like to thank Governor Murphy for the confidence and support he has demonstrated in the EDA to manage this unprecedented amount of funding for the New Jersey businesses that need it most. Continuing with Sustain and Serve, they've now spent more than $6 million to purchase more than 500,000 meals from New Jersey restaurants. More than 12,500 businesses have been approved for over $10 million in discounts on the personal protective equipment through the PPE Access Program. Now, today, we continue to make progress rolling out programs created under the Economic Recovery Act of 2020. Last month, we completed a key step in the public feedback process for Emerge. Today, the board will vote to approve the program rules, which will pave the way for us to begin accepting applications soon. This is an important step that will support the creation of good jobs in New Jersey, especially important as we get New Jersey residents back to work in the aftermath of the pandemic. Emerge also delivers on the EDA's commitment to equality and accountability. Most projects will need to provide at least a 400% net benefit to the state. Now, to be clear, that means the net benefit to the state needs to be at least four times the awarded tax incentive. Projects must also meet minimum environmental standards, pay prevailing wage to construction workers and building service workers, and provide health care for incented employees. Projects over $10 million must enter community benefits agreements with the EDA and the municipality where the project is located. The EDA is supporting communities and businesses as they adjust to the new realities of the post-COVID work. The 21st Century Redevelopment Program reopens soon to help municipalities plan new uses for vacant or underutilized office parks, malls, and other stranded assets. The ERD program, which reopens on June 1st, will also help fund projects that respond to changing demand for housing and new visions of live, work, play communities. We are also investing in new innovative sectors that have the potential to drive long-term growth. The Esports Innovation Center at Stockton University, the Sports Wagering and FinTech Innovation Center at New Jersey City University, the Turbine Tech Training Program grant to grow New Jersey's offshore wind workforce. Finally, a heartfelt thanks to the people of the EDA. So much has been asked of you, and you have delivered. Keep up the great work. Tim, if I could turn it over to you for the CEO report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for those kind remarks about the team. I would say I'll be brief because we have a lot to get through this morning. The team within the EDA and lots of our partners throughout the Murphy administration continues to be incredibly busy working on a number of different fronts, as the chairman just mentioned. On COVID relief, as the chairman mentioned, we're in the middle of, or toward the end of now, phase four. As of this morning, 27,400 small businesses have applied, 34,000 are pre-registered, about 27,400 have applied. Which means we will, we are able to, thanks to the good news from the governor on Friday, able to fulfill all the need and all the demand that has come in and pre-registered for phase four, which is great news. And so we'll work to deploy that funding efficiently and expeditiously over the next couple of weeks here. The continued support from the governor and legislative leadership, for things like Sustain and Serve and the new program to support businesses that are either opening or reopening post-COVID or as the COVID reality improves, I think just speaks to the depth of the support that the governor has committed to small businesses in New Jersey during this crisis. The 235 that was announced on Friday takes us well over $500 million of just funds just through the EDA, and that doesn't even include important programs at our sister agencies like DCA and HMFA and JRA and others to support small businesses. And doesn't even, of course, when you think about support for the economy, touch on the great work that Rob and his team at Labor have done in pushing out, I forget the current numbers, but you know, so much money I can barely count that high in terms of unemployment dollars that have been administered and put in the pockets and the bank accounts of folks in New Jersey who need them. And so just an extraordinary effort, whole of government to support businesses and people through the economic crisis here. As we turn the corner, I'm enormously excited and proud to be bringing forward the Emerge program for your consideration in a few minutes. Emerge is the successor to Grow. I'll talk about it a little bit more when we get into that. But we're very, very proud of the work we've done to get the law turned into a program and turned into regulations and rules that are worthy of the taxpayers, are worthy of this board's consideration, and most importantly, will grow, help sustainably grow the economy and help us compete in industries in which we have and need to maintain a competitive advantage, or if we play our cards right, can develop a competitive advantage. And so we're excited to be moving forward on a whole bunch of different fronts. Again, the great news on Friday from the governor and legislative leadership and Senate president and the speaker in particular continues to be wind in our sails and also keeps us quite busy. So with that, I will yield the floor back and turn to the balance of our agenda.
Great. Thank you, Tim. So first on the agenda this month is the Emerge Program Rules, which, as I mentioned in my report, is a monumental moment for this program to begin to move forward. I applaud all the hard work of the EDA team for their thoroughness, commitment, and dedication to bringing the Job Creation Tax Credit Program online in a timely manner that balanced both the urgent need for economic stimulus and the critical duty to be responsible stewards of taxpayer dollars. I'd like to offer an opportunity for Ginny Bauer, our chair of our incentive committee, to make a comment.
Oh, thank you, Chairman. And truly, this is a privilege for me to bring this very important agenda item before this board. I think it's an important day for New Jersey. It's certainly an important day for EDA. As you alluded, and Tim Sullivan, our CEO, has mentioned, we will discuss this at length in terms of New Jersey's opportunity to bring tax credits and high-paying jobs in targeted industries to really bring forth a new economic growth and development for the state of New Jersey, which I'm very, very excited about. I will say, on a personal note, having spent a lot of time with the Incentives Committee, I just have to applaud the enormously successful and diligent staff of EDA. I think, Tim, you have an incredible, incredible team. They've done all the homework. They've answered all the questions. It looks as though they've gone through everything with a fine-tooth comb, and I think we will be very pleased. And most importantly, I'm very excited to have this board approve this very important agenda item. So thank you for allowing me to be part of it, and I will hand this back to you, Chairman, so that we can get a full discussion and hopefully approval of this important rules and regulation. Thank you.
Great. Great. Thanks so much, Jenny. Additionally, the Policy Committee reviewed updates to the Ignite program, the New Jersey Wind Turbine Tech Training Challenge program, and two finance and professional services MOUs with Stockton University and New Jersey City University, respectively. All unique in their own right, presenting a variety of opportunities for economic growth and expansion in New Jersey. I look forward to staff sharing their presentations with you later in today's agenda. As I mentioned, the first item is our Emerge program, special adopted new rules and concurrent proposed new rules for the Emerge program. Brian Sabina, Chief Economic Growth Officer, presenting. Brian and Tim, if you could kick us off here.
Great. It's Tim. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Ginny, for those very nice comments about our team. I agree. We have a great team, and they're working incredibly hard and incredibly efficiently, and not just within the EDA, but the Attorney General's office, the Governor's office, our sister agencies all across the board, not the least of which is Treasury and Taxation, who we work with hand-in-hand, and Labor and DEP, in particular on the operational side of these things. So, again, we're enormously excited to be bringing this this program forward. The governor signed this bill into law on January 7th. The eMERGE program is one of 15 programs contemplated by the Economic Recovery Act. It is the successor to Grow New Jersey, and I think is in every way a better, stronger, fairer program that advances a pro-growth and progressive approach to economic development that makes investments in high-paying, good family-sustaining jobs, permanent jobs, as well as investing in supporting key industries and key sectors that either we have to maintain our position in or hope to grow a strong competitive position in. It also includes a number of important protections for taxpayers, including caps on the numbers of awards, lower award limits, higher net benefit thresholds, important anti-corruption provisions that are in statute that we are reflected in the rules for your consideration today. From a process perspective, I'm really proud of the work that our team has done over the last 5 or 6 weeks, in particular. Since the initial draft of the rules was put on our website on, I believe, April 1st, we've done extensive outreach and engagement with the public. We hosted three listening sessions, online, Zoom sessions. More than 100 people turned out across those three sessions to provide feedback and comments. We received written feedback through our website. We received detailed written feedback from a number of organizations in the last couple weeks, all of which we've done our best to reflect here. From a process perspective, this is being presented for your consideration, and two things, if we're fortunate enough to receive your support, two things will happen. One, these draft rules will have the immediate, once they're filed with a few technical things have to happen here, but once they'll be filed, they'll have temporary but immediate force of law, and we can launch the program. They'll simultaneously go out for public comment under the Administrative Procedures Act, and so there will be another bite of the apple for both the public and any stakeholders to provide formal comments and feedback, and we will be back sometime in the fall to the board with a final set of rules based on that public comment process under the Administrative Procedures Act. So this is an important moment. It's not the last moment in the life of this program, and obviously we'll continue to revise and reflect the realities of the economy as we go here. But we will be back many times to continue to over the next couple months to finalize and formalize the last steps here. But this is a big step here. This allows the program to launch, and I think launch in the right way. With that, Brian, take us away and tell us all about eMERGE.
Thanks so much, Tim. Board members, before you is a detailed memo. There are two actions of you today or for your consideration. The first is to establish the eMERGE program as authorized by the Economic Recovery Act of 2020, and the second is to approve the proposed program rules and allow staff to submit them to be published in the New Jersey Register, as Tim just described. As we've mentioned, the eMERGE program is the primary jobs-based incentive program in the Economic Recovery Act. Staff have put together a fairly detailed memo, a bit over 100 pages, explaining how the program will be operationalized, including appendices that talk about the actual rules themselves, explanations of how we'll handle net benefit analyses, explanations of how we will look at targeted industries, information about how we'll think about it, material factor and inducement, as well as our green building standards. If approved today, all these materials will be made public through our website and via program policies and FAQs to help ensure transparency and fairness as we operationalize and execute on the program. Given the fact that we've had a number of special committee meetings and smaller board member briefings over the last 2 months about this program, we'll try to keep this presentation to only the key features of the program, but feel free to ask questions in the discussion section. As an overview, the eMERGE program allows the NJEDA board to approve per job tax credits to eligible projects for up to 7 years. Those 7 years are what we call a project's eligibility period. Because the eMERGE program, like the Grow New Jersey program, is a pay-for-performance program, after approval, a company then must execute its project. The authority must then certify that the project has been completed, including the project capital investment, and that workers have been hired. And all that has to happen before any tax credits are actually provided to the company. In addition, the project must maintain compliance with program requirements for what we call a commitment period, which lasts 1.5 times longer than the eligibility period, rounded up to the nearest year. So if a project has an eligibility period of 7 years, its commitment period would be 10.5 years, rounded up to 11 years. The eMERGE program shares an overall program cap with the Aspire program underneath the ERA. That program cap is $1.1 billion per year, and that cap is split between the two regions, the northern part of the state and the southern part of the state. The program is authorized to use those annual caps for up to 6 years, and we're able to roll over unused portions of those annual caps each year. In the seventh year, we're able to run the program if there's any unused tax credits from the first 6 years. In terms of eligibility requirements, projects must meet a set of eligibility requirements at the time of application, so when the board would approve. Those include, first and foremost, creating a minimum number of new jobs or retaining a significant number of at-risk jobs. Projects that are in targeted industries, as defined by the bill itself, must create 25 new jobs to be eligible for the program. Projects outside of a targeted industry must create 35 new jobs. Small businesses, which is a term used kind of throughout the program, we define as a company that has less than 100 full-time equivalents at the time of application. They do not have a fixed minimum number of jobs. They must grow their company at least 25% of their total size. To receive tax credits for retained jobs or at-risk jobs, the minimum number of at-risk jobs is required to be 1,000 in most areas of the state and 500 if a project is going to be located in certain more highly distressed areas. To qualify as an eligible job, which is and this is particularly pertinent given kind of the environment we have today with remote working, so to be eligible as a job, that job needs to spend at least 80% of its work time here in New Jersey. The second major criteria for a project to be eligible is that it needs to be located in a qualified incentive area. There's the program rules and the statute outline five or six different types of areas, including government-restricted municipalities such as Trenton, Atlantic City, and Patterson, distressed municipalities, enhanced areas, qualified opportunity zones, and other eligible areas. A list of these exact geographies is included on the EDA's website and kind of we're building mapping tools to support clarity for the public on that. The third minimum is that the project must make minimum capital investment into physical facilities in the state. That minimum capital investment is calculated based on a per dollar amount per square foot, and we have different levels for those per square foot requirements based on whether a project is new construction or renovation and the type of space. So, for example, industrial, warehousing, logistics space have different costs than R&D space, which has different costs per square foot than office space. Small businesses under the program, as another flexibility, do not have a requirement for minimum capital investment, but they do have to continue to maintain their presence here in the state to be part of the program. One of the unique features of this program is that as an alternative to capital investment, if a company is coming into a existing space that doesn't require significant investment, that project and that company can make a donation to a recovery infrastructure fund. Based on the donations to those to that fund, the local municipality in which that project is located can then use that money for infrastructure projects, workforce projects, and community safety projects. Similar to or related to the capital investment requirements, projects must ensure that the physical facility that they create, we often will call a qualified business facility, can accommodate at least 50% of new jobs and 100% of any sort of retained jobs. The project must also demonstrate what we refer to as a material factor, that the award of tax credits must be a material factor or significant factor in the business's decision to locate in New Jersey. This includes in terms of what we'll do to assess that, an economic analysis between the New Jersey-based project and at least one viable alternative site outside of the state. And that analysis would look at one-time costs such as moving and construction costs as well as ongoing costs. We really focus in the rules around getting to an apples-to-apples comparisons for those cost comparisons, so we can have kind of a fair assessment of New Jersey versus other locations. The authority may also conduct other analyses on material factor and really consider whether we believe that the awards are essential to make that project come to New Jersey. Staff have developed a ratings matrix to help assess that material factor and will help us determine whether or not additional due diligence would be required on a project. One of the features around material factor that's important to note is that we really try to accentuate and clarify for applicants what they can and can't do before application to maintain that material factor. And we think that clarity will lead to easier decisions in our end and clearer operations and execution for applicants. Finally, as key eligibility requirements, and Chairman Quinn and CEO Tim Sullivan mentioned this, all projects must provide a positive net benefit to the state. As you may recall, the Grow New Jersey program had requirements that range from 100% net benefit to 110% benefit. The MERGE program increases that significantly. For most projects, their required net benefit is 400%. Projects that are located in distressed municipalities or in transit hub municipalities have to hit a 300% coverage ratio. And projects that are located in government-restricted municipalities or projects that are called mega projects, which I'll talk about in a second, must yield a 200% net benefit. To help assess that net benefit, staff will use a third-party model called MPLAN. MPLAN is a widely known, widely understood, and widely utilized model. It's utilized by many other states as well as at the federal level to assess economic development impacts. Our analysis and use of the MPLAN model will include looking at direct and indirect tax revenues for ongoing operations, and direct, indirect, and induced tax revenues at the state level for construction-level benefits. Local taxes will largely be excluded and only included in circumstances where they benefit the states, and the applicant can prove to us that they should be included. We'll, of course, use discount rates and inflation rates that are relevant to market conditions, economic conditions, and uncertainty relative to projects. More details of that can be found in Appendix B of your memo. In addition to all the eligibility requirements I've just described, projects must also commit to being must be in substantial good standing with Departments of Labor and Workforce Development, the Department of Environmental Protection, and the Department of Treasury. And we've worked with each of those departments to determine the appropriate interpretation of what in good standing means so we can execute the program. The MERGE program rules also require that projects demonstrate that it will comply with all environmental laws, including many of the new rules associated with the NJ Pact regulations, such as flood safety hazard requirements. All projects must also meet minimum building standards, pay prevailing wage to construction workers and to building service workers, and provide health care to incentivized employees. I mentioned the term mega projects. There are certain projects in the program that are considered substantially large and could have a significant impact on the economy. We're able to define those project threshold sizes. Staff have utilized the thresholds of 500 or more new full-time jobs, a capital investment of at least $50 million, and those projects must be a targeted industry and allow the state to take a leadership position in one of those targeted industries. In terms of how we actually award programs, we have base awards that range from $500 to $4,000 per job, and then we have bonuses. Those bonuses can take an award up to $8,000 based upon certain criteria of location, industry, and alignment with certain policy goals. Projects that or jobs that are eligible for labor harmony agreement provisions can get $1,000 above those caps. Retained jobs are awarded at 50% the cost of new jobs, and then there are certain provisions that can take awards down, such as if a project is not awarding, does not creating jobs that have provided these wages that are equivalent to the median income of the county that they're based in. One of the interesting features that we mentioned earlier was community benefits agreements. So we are the first states in the nation to require community benefits agreements for projects that are getting state funding. Any project that has over $10 million in tax credits for the eMERGE program is required to enter into community benefits agreements with the NJEDA and the municipality in which the project's located. Municipalities can request that a county handle that responsibility if the municipality doesn't want to. The rules in Appendix A laid out a detailed process for how the authority will work with municipalities and the businesses to execute these CBAs. Included in that is that the governing body of the municipality will hold a public hearing on the CBA that gets input from local community members, that the municipality will negotiate directly with the business on this and make sure that any commitments are clearly defined and include a monetary assessment of those commitments. The municipality must establish what we call a community advisory committee or a group of community members, including local residents, community stakeholders, business owners, to review the long-term implementation and compliance with that community benefits agreement. Both the business and that community action committee have to file annual compliance reports relative to the community benefits agreement, and where there are disagreements, EDA has the ability to step in and help mediate and make a determination. If EDA determines that a business is not in compliance with their CBA, we can actually withhold tax credits either in part or in whole based upon the specifics of the situation. In terms of after approval, there's a significant number of steps that happen, similar to what we had in the GROW program, where after approval, a business must sign an approval letter, then a commitment agreement. There are certain requirements. We would certify that a project is completed, as I mentioned before, and awards may be adjusted, including rerunning the net benefit test, if a project materially deviates from what the board previously approved. From there, there's annual certifications during the compliance period, and if there's deviation in terms of number of jobs or salaries during those periods, the authority may again look at the net benefits of that project and resize awards or reduce or withhold tax credits. In certain instances, the authority has the ability to recapture tax credits, and that's outlined in the memo. In terms of fees, the staff has proposed a schedule of fees in the program rules, Appendix A. Prior to doing this, we conducted a full fee assessment across the authority to try to understand the level of staffing that would be required to support this program. We ensure that the fee levels proposed allow for cost recovery of staff efforts and are appropriately sized. Fees include an application fee, an approval fee, a certification fee, and an annual servicing fee. There are also other fees related to things such as program modifications and tax credit transfers and agreement terminations. So that was a lot to cover, and I know that there is a 100-page plus memo, including appendices, that many of you have read, and we've had many numerous conversations. I'm happy to answer questions at this point, but just to summarize, the members requested to, one, approve the establishment of the eMERGE program, and to approve the proposed program rules and allow staff to submit them to be published in the New Jersey Register. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Brian. Are there any questions for Brian?
It's Kathy Brennan. I just have a comment. I just want to thank Brian and the other members of the EDA team. There's been a lot of back and forth with Treasury front office and taxation and with our group on OREA for the just the discussion regarding the elements of the net benefit test, and I just want to thank Brian for all the cooperation and all the effort that's gone into to getting us to today.
Thank you, Kathy. Other comments or questions for Brian?
Chairman Charles Sorlo. I just want to thank Brian and Tim and the whole EDA staff for arranging the small sessions with the EDA board members to really go through this regulation. Obviously, this is an important program for the state of New Jersey and to get our economy back. And this is a complex set of rules and regulations. And rather than really having each board member trying to go through not only the memo but the regulations, the staff led by Brian and Tim and everybody else, took the time to go through in a PowerPoint presentation with small groups of the board members, as with board members, as my colleagues know, to really get an understanding and be able to ask one-on-one questions. So again, I appreciate all the staff's effort in that. But one question I do have, whether it's for Brian or for Tim, I know there were the public hearing sessions. I think Tim mentioned there was maybe over 100 either participants or comments. I was just wondering if someone could kind of summarize the general types of questions or inquiries from the public as it relates to the proposed regulations.
Yep. Brian, you want to take that one? I'm happy to. Brian, you want to take that one?
Sure, happy to. So I think in the public listening sessions, many of the questions that we got were really about trying to get clarification relative to the program and how it would work and what products would be included or not included. There are also comments specifically around the community benefits agreement and how that will work. It is a relatively new feature of the program, and I think there's lots of interest into how that part of the program would be operationalized. In the written comments, I think there was even more depth. We received, I think, kind of three big buckets. One, comments that were very valid requests for clarification in the rules. We've since kind of made those in addition to kind of clarifications requested by the governor's office. Some kind of policy-driven items that we kind of have considered and taken into account. And then three, a number of potential policy, operational related items of kind of how we would execute the program, kind of what types of FAQs to put out, what types of information to put out. And staff is kind of continuing to consider that as we operationalize the program.
Thanks, Brian.
The only thing I'd add to that was that there were some comments that were kind of more upstream from the regs, if you will. They were comments about sort of the legislation itself, and those are above our pay grade, as they say.
All righty. Other comments or questions? If there's no comments or questions, I'd like – yep.
Sorry, Kevin, at the risk of just upsetting the apple cart, Brian, just clarify the community benefits agreement. It's $10 million of project cost triggers that, right, not $10 million of credits?
Yes. If I misspoke, I apologize. That's a $10 million project, which may have less – which is a lower threshold than a $10 million in credits.
Right. Yep. Just wanted to clarify that for everyone's mental notes or physical notes if you're taking notes.
All right.
And that's what they're doing. Just want to clarify, everyone. Yep, good.
Tim, any more comments or questions?
I think I'm done, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. If I can get a motion to approve.
Jenny Bauer, I'm happy to move it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. Can I get a second?
Kathy Brennan, second.
Thank you, Kathy. Any further discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Hey, Chairman, I wasn't here for the roll call in the beginning, but I was on fairly early on in the call, so I just wanted to, it's still a logic. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Do we have anybody opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, congratulations, folks. Let's move to the next item on the agenda. Economic growth, our Ignite program, the New Jersey Ignite pilot program update. Tim Rollander, Director, Venture Programs, presenting. Tim.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate it. Today we're presenting a recommendation for a series of updates to the NJ Ignite pilot program that's created through EDA board approval in July of 2018. In April and July of 2020, the board approved specific modifications to offer support for workspaces and early-stage businesses through COVID-19. More than 1 year on from the start of the pandemic, the unforeseen impact to the collaborative workspaces and member businesses continues to be significant. Nationally, 1 in 5 co-working spaces have shut their doors in the past year. Through our lens in New Jersey, we've seen 1 in 24 approved Ignite workspaces shut their doors, with others finding ways to break even and keep operating for now. Approval of the request today has two facets. First, to provide additional programmatic accommodation to NJ Ignite approved collaborative workspaces continuing to manage through economic hardship as a result of COVID-19. The programmatic workspace accommodations are detailed in the board approval package. In short, in order to support workspace compliance, we seek to waive the community building events from the past 2020 requirement. If an Ignite space made some accommodations of rent or fee for its members or tenants, it can demonstrate a loss of business through revenue declines in 2020, the workspace would be eligible to receive a waiver of this requirement for the 2020 year. Secondly, on a go-forward basis for 2021, EDA will increase the flexibility for workspaces as the economy continues to open, such that if workspaces fall short of the 2021 requirement, they'll be allowed to make up the difference in 2022, essentially offering a grace period to consider the constraints still outstanding. Second, passage of the Economic Recovery Act of 2020 included creation of the NJ Ignite statutory program to provide expanded support for the foundational subsector of the economy. Creation of the statutory program is underway as a component of the project launch, and the application for that program is expected to come online in February 2022. So the second component of the recommendation today is to create the alignment of the pilot program with the statutory program, which will expand the benefits currently available to a larger universe of eligible businesses and create greater transparency and efficiency. With the NJ Ignite pilot program already at work, approval of the changes to the pilot program will create closer alignment of the current NJ pilot program terms, conditions, requirements with the statutory program, enabling us to tap into the expanded resources to support a more diverse set of early-stage businesses with benefits today and create a smooth transition when the statutory program comes online in February. The full details of the policy and technical updates are detailed in Appendix B of the memo. And finally, to create greater program efficiency and in accordance with operational updates within EDA, staff was requesting a modification to delegated authority. Currently, delegation from the board is to approve NJ Ignite grants at level 4 delegation, which is vice president of TLS and recommending officer. The proposal here entails delegated authority for approvals of eligible workspaces to access NJ Ignite program benefits can be approved with the program or product officer recommendation and director approval. NJ Ignite grants can be approved with the operations analyst recommendation and operations program manager approval, given the maximum award will be up to $25,000. This level of approval is consistent with the dollar amount of awards in the Angel Tax Credit Program, for example. Disbursement requests may be approved by portfolio servicing officer recommendation and portfolio management program manager. So with that, appreciate the consideration to approve these supportive measures and do welcome any questions or insights. So thank you.
Great. Any questions for Tim?
Chairman, this is Rosemarie. I actually probably should have said something earlier, but as you guys know, I own a co-working space. So I'm not sure if I should have been part of that whole presentation or if I need to log off and come back on.
So, Rosemarie, this is Gabriel. You can participate here because I think we have discussed this before. Just owning a co-working space is not cause for conflict.
Okay.
Your co-working space right now, like, you wouldn't have tenants that could apply for this.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. I'll just abstain on the vote then.
You can. It's your choice. It's not a conflict due to the EDA statute since, again, you wouldn't have tenants applying for this.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions for Tim or other members of staff? If there's no questions, can I get a motion to approve?
Move the law.
Jenny Bauer, I'll move it.
Thank you, Phil. I get a second.
Angela.
Jenny Bauer, I'll second.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Jenny. Any more discussion? There's no more discussion. All in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions?
Hi, this is Rosemarie. Yeah, I think I'm going to recuse and abstain just to be safe. Thanks.
Okay. Next item on the agenda, the New Jersey Wind Turbine Tech Training Challenge. Jennifer Becker, Managing Director, Wind Institute Development, presenting. Jennifer.
Good morning. Atchison, my name is Jen Becker. I recently joined the EDA team as Managing Director of Wind Institute Development and will be leading efforts to set up the Wind Institute and advance offshore wind workforce, education, research, and innovation efforts. for bringing to the board today a revised proposal to fund an offshore wind turbine technician grant challenge utilizing funds allocated through an MOU between EDA and the Board of Public Utilities. As you may recall, this item was before the board in February. There were some questions raised that we have since addressed. Offshore wind will create many new job opportunities, including a new occupation for a wind turbine technician that will maintain and repair the turbine. This is one of the many jobs that are needed to support the growing industry. To position New Jerseyans for this position, we are creating a grant challenge whereby a selected New Jersey Community College will develop and operate an industry-recognized offshore wind turbine technician training program that includes a credit-bearing certificate and a pathway to an associate degree or higher. The college would collaborate with labor unions and industry stakeholders to develop a targeted curriculum that meets industry needs, utilize outreach and recruitment practices and program design approaches that target and support a diverse and inclusive pool of training participants who enroll in and complete the program, to create clear and inclusive career pathways for students to enter and grow in the offshore wind industry, and to launch the certificate program by the first quarter of 2023. This program is critical to New Jersey's offshore wind workforce development efforts. The program will include a comprehensive curriculum involving offshore wind power and other renewable energy operations, engineering, mechanical, hydraulic, electrical, and IT systems, algebra, and soft skill development, including resume writing and interview skills. In line with the Governor's New Jersey Jobs Plan, create career pathways with stackable credentials, and building on the administration's free community college efforts, New Jersey Community Colleges will be the primary applicant. Based on board feedback, we are now requiring applicants to submit plans to collaborate with regional labor union groups, as well as industry representatives, and as a means to yield the most robust training program possible and encourage leveraging existing labor union training expertise and facilities. We've revised the scoring criteria to reflect this requirement. Additionally, based on board feedback, the program is now structured to be an up to $1 million grant challenge rather than a flat $1 million grant. Additional details on the program specifications are included in the board memo appendix. In sum, before the board is a request to create this challenge using $1 million, utilizing funds already allocated via the MOU between EDA and the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Jen? There's no questions for Jen. Can we get a motion to approve?
Elizabeth Dragon, motion to approve.
Thank you, Liz. Can we get a second?
Second, Marcia Marley.
Thank you, Marcia. Is there any more discussion? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right. Let's go to the next item on the agenda, Finance and Professional Services, Esports Innovation Center Memorandum of Understanding, New Jersey EDA, and Stockton University. Bill Pender, Senior Advisor, Strategic Sector Development, presenting. Bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and greetings to all. There are two board memos with MOU attachments relating to the establishment of innovation centers seeking funding of $200,000 for each. The first relates to an innovation center for esports at the Stockton University campus in Atlantic City. As a matter of background, the esports industry, or competitive video gaming for those not familiar, is in the process of becoming an economic force in the United States and already is globally. We see the potential for New Jersey and in particular Atlantic City to become an industry hub similar to what we have accomplished with the sports wagering industry sector. Establishing this innovation center will confirm to the industry that we in New Jersey understand the potential of this nascent sector and want to create an environment where esports companies, big and small, can come to establish themselves, leverage the unique entertainment infrastructure we have in Atlantic City, benefit from technological and product innovation, thought leadership, and workforce development programs, all that will emanate from the center. The goal is for New Jersey to become operational centers for these esports companies as they expand their business models across the U.S. Overall, the purpose and objectives for the center will be the following: technology and product innovation in an open source code environment, Any IP developed will be owned by the school and licensed royalty-free to all members of the center. This will be of particular interest to the casinos and their current challenge with technology. Second, workforce development and educational programs, creating a skilled talent pool for this industry to recruit from. Third, industry thought leadership, which is crucial to creating a hub. Fourth, fostering diversity and inclusion for the local community in Atlantic City. Five, integrity, regulation, and best practice for esports. And six, healthy gaming. Anticipated next steps, should we be approved for funding, would be to register the 501c3, configure the Board of Trustees, create bylaws, membership agreements, and other components of required administration, hire the executive director and admin support, undertake the membership outreach, agree the strategic plan and schedule and the initial schedule of activities. We expect that this timeline will take us through to the end of Q4 of this year. Expressions of interest in membership have come in from the Harris Blitzer Group, Amazon, Verizon, G3 Esports, the Esports Entertainment Group, Esports Integrity Coalition, the American Heart Association, the Boys and Girls Club of Atlantic City, the Casino Redevelopment Authority, Gamblers Anonymous, and a number of additional private sector companies from both Asia and Europe. So I will pause there to see if there are any questions.
Any questions for Bill?
Bill. Chairman, I have one question. If I support this, do I still have to limit my son's time on Xbox? Or would that be hypocritical? I am very familiar with e-gaming. It is all kidding aside, it is the wave of the future for a lot of things. So I think it's very innovative and impressive that we're out in front of it. So I'm enthusiastic about this. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
And healthy gaming is a big component of our membership.
Other questions or comments for Bill? If we don't have any more comments or questions, can I get a motion to approve?
I would love to make a motion to approve. Phil Walaja.
Thank you, Phil. Can I get a second?
Charles Sarlo on a second, since I have a 13-year-old that sits along with Phil's son.
Yeah. All right, Charles. Thank you. Any more discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right. We're going back to Bill on item two here, Sports Wagering in FinTech Workforce Development and Innovation Center Memorandum of Understanding, the New Jersey EDA and New Jersey City University. Bill, why don't you walk us through this one? Thank you.
Sure. So as noted, the other innovation center will be for sports wagering and FinTech at New Jersey City University. As a matter of background, the sports wagering industry sector has grown tremendously over the last 2 years in New Jersey. We do serve today as a hub for the industry in the United States. In 2020, we had 6 billion wagers placed in the state of New Jersey, compared to 4.5 billion in the state of Nevada, which has had legalized sports betting since 1949. Our first bet was wagered by Governor Murphy in June of 2018. So we've already surpassed Nevada in that regard, as a matter of context. This growth was driven by the Division of Gaming Enforcement's ability to permit and regulate online gaming, which has allowed people physically in New Jersey to bet from anywhere over their phones and laptops. As the industry has proliferated here, the number one challenge and consistent feedback we get from the industry is that we need to develop and strengthen our talent pool and resources available to fill these high-paying jobs with some baseline understanding of the industry. And up until now, that has not existed in our state. The Sports Wagering Innovation Center will focus on workforce development programs at NJCU designed to educate and produce skilled resources for the industry. FinTech will also be a focus for this center given the critical alignment that exists today between these two sectors. FinTech tools are what support the online sports gaming platforms, which include digital payments, compliance, risk management, and odds making. NJCU has a FinTech curriculum that they would like to further develop alongside the sports wagering program and look to collaborate on the product development and innovation activities of the center for both industries. And again, the purpose and the objectives of the center are identical to what I articulated for the eSports Center in Atlantic City with Stockton. And there have been expressions of interest for membership by FanDuel, DraftKings, Verizon, TechUnited, Bet365, and many other sports wagering platforms that are operational today in the state of New Jersey. So I will pause there. Questions for Bill? If there are no questions for Bill, can I get a motion to approve?
Jenny Bauer, I'll move it.
Thank you, Jenny. Can I get a second, please?
Phil Elijah, second.
Thank you, Phil. Any more discussion? There's no discussion. All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right. We're now moving on to the Incentives Committee report. We've already covered the eMERGE program. Ginny, are there any words you'd like to offer before we go through the items on the agenda?
And I'll just make it brief, Chairman, just another example of why this authority is such a credit to the state, because as you mentioned, in addition to a number of special incentive committee meetings, we also had another incentive meeting, committee meeting on April 29th, where we have a couple agenda items that we're going to bring forth. So this team is amazing. They just seem to get everything done and done well. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for those. Thank you for those comments, Jenny. So our next item on the agenda is the Argus Ellison Associates LLC and Grandparents AE LLC Mixed Use Parking ERG. Michael Conti, Senior Real Estate and Credit Underwriter presenting. Michael.
Thank you, Chairman. For your consideration is a $17 million Mixed Use Parking ERG tax credit incentive for the co-applicants. This tax credit ERG is sized based on 100% of the eligible parking costs and then 40% of the eligible non-parking cost as permitted by EOA 2013. This is a Patterson-based project. It involves new construction of a six-story, 70,000-square-foot building with 68 affordable apartments. It will also rehab an old vacant mill building, creating six apartments with offices on the ground floor, a parking deck for 74 spaces for the residents, and a surface parking lot with 115 spaces on land owned by the Patterson Parking Authority. The development team includes Wynn Development, which is the nation's largest manager of affordable housing units in the United States. They have 19 completed projects in New Jersey, and the tax credit investor is Bank of America. This is a $40 million project. It'll be presented to the board at NJHMFA on May 20th for a $20 million conduit bond, which will be purchased by Citibank. It is supported by the City of Patterson with $1.5 million in grants. It has an ERG bridge loan funded by New Jersey Community Capital, and it has low-income and historic housing tax credits, which will be purchased by Bank of America. It will create approximately 110 construction jobs, and it's ready to commence construction in July with the closing of the financing for the project. And approval is recommended. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Any questions for Michael? If there's no questions for Michael, can I get a motion to approve?
Kathy Brennan, motion.
Thank you, Kathy. Can I get a second?
Marlene Caridi, second.
Thank you, Marlene. Any more discussion? There's no more discussion. All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? Great. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Next item on the agenda is a Grow New Jersey modification. GBT US LLC, COVID-related termination, Grow New Jersey Assistance Program. Susan Greitz, Director, Incentives Relationship Management, presenting. Susan.
Yes, hi there. Good morning. This is actually the first request that you've seen for a GROW termination under the recently enacted COVID relief amendments, the GROW law. So let me get started. The GROW law, as you know, requires that businesses evidence that investment and employment requirements at the approved qualified business facility are met within 3 years of the date of board approval, with additional year of EDA-approved extension. Upon certifying, the GROW business must evidence continued compliance with employment requirements both at the approved site and statewide. Failure to meet the minimum employment requirements of a GROW generally result in the forfeiting of tax credits and potential recapture of previously issued tax credits. Now, in recognition of the challenges that GROW businesses have faced over the last year or so, the New Jersey Economic Recovery Act of 2020 has amended the GROW law to allow GROW-approved businesses to terminate existing incentive agreements where the CEO certifies that the termination is due to the public health emergency and describes the impact of the public health emergency on the business. This termination would allow GROW business to be relieved of all ongoing reporting obligations with no recapture resulting from the termination. So GBT, let me tell you a little about them specifically. They provide end-to-end corporate travel and meetings program management for companies of all sizes across all industries. In October of 2015, the members approved an $11 million 10-year GROW award to incent the creation of 130 new jobs with an estimated capital investment of $6.8 million and an existing site in Jersey City. GBT completed the project in 2017, was issued an overall tax credit certificate in the amount of $9.1 million, and they've maintained program compliance. They've gotten two annual certificates, tax credit certificates, to the state of $891,000 and $860,000 for 2017 and 2018, respectively. They've just recently, in March, come to us requesting a termination, explaining that the public health emergency dramatically reduced travel and demand for travel management services, meetings, event services, and business travel consulting. Previous to COVID, they had had a flexible work policy for many employees that were not incented as part of the GROW, but in response to the pandemic, they instituted a preferred work-from-home policy for all employees in May of 2020. So currently, almost all of GBT's Jersey City workforce is working remotely. They currently have 89 GROW-eligible employees who are associated with Jersey City. After mitigating expenses by reducing salaries, implementing furlough program, and executing voluntary and unfortunately involuntary workforce reductions, they began to look globally at what they could do to deal with the changes that they were experiencing. They made a global assessment, really, of all the functions that they needed that could be done remotely versus those that could not. Those that they thought could be remote would be human resources, marketing, finance, legal, versus those like IT that needed some proximity to a space. At this time, they determined that they would close 40 offices across the globe, including the Jersey City location. They still maintain the site right now, and they've not had any formal discussions with their landlord about terminating, really waiting for the board's decision here to allow them to use the COVID relief option. They have over 200 remote employees still based in New Jersey, but ongoing they would be associated with the New York office. So I'm happy to answer any questions. Really, the request to the board is that they be allowed to use the termination relief under COVID versus asking for a straight-out termination that would require them to repay the existing tax credits issued.
All right. Do we have any questions for Susan? If we have no questions for Susan, can I get a motion to approve?
Jenny Bauer, I'll move it.
Thank you, Jenny. Can I get a second?
Marlene Caridi, second.
Thank you, Marlene. Any more discussion? There's no more discussion. All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, the next item on the agenda is the Film and Digital Media Tax Credit. The first item is the Digital Media Tax Credit Program certification of unused or unredeemed credits in state fiscal year 2020 and an increase to state fiscal year 2021. Matt Sestrich, Senior Business Development Officer, presenting. Matt.
Thank you, Chairman. The members are requested to approve the certification of $10 million in unused or unredeemed digital media tax credits from state fiscal year 2020 to increase the digital media tax credits available for fiscal year 2021 to $20 million. The New Jersey Economic Recovery Act of 2020 was signed by the governor back in January 2021, which amended the Garden State Film and Digital Media Tax Credit Program to allow the authority to certify any unused digital media credits in that state's fiscal year to increase the annual cap for the next fiscal year. Previously, this was only available for unused film tax credits, which back on October 14, 2020, the board approved the certification of over $64 million in unused credits from fiscal year 2020 to increase the program cap for 21 by $50 million. Before changes were made to the Economic Recovery Act, there was a $50 million limit on the amount that you could increase the annual cap for the next year. In fiscal year 2020, we had no approvals for digital media tax credits, so the members are requested to approve the certification of $10 million in unused and unredeemed digital media tax credits for state fiscal year 2020, which will increase by $10 million the digital media tax credits available for state fiscal year 21 to $20 million. The request today would mean we would have 12,488,438 available for projects remaining in 2021. Thank you.
Any questions for Matt? There's no questions for Matt. Can I get a motion to approve?
Kathy Brennan, motion.
Thank you, Kathy. Can I get a second?
Phil Elodge, second.
Thank you, Phil. Any more discussion? There's no more discussion. All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions?
Aisha Glover, I'm going to recuse because my employer accesses the digital media tax credit.
Thank you, Aisha. Continuing with digital media and tax and film tax credits, we have three items here. Eye on the Ball Enterprises, Metro Park LLC, and Red Hippo Productions will have three separate votes, but David Lawyer, Managing Director Underwriting, will provide one presentation, and then we'll do three separate votes. David?
Thank you. EDA staff has completed the review and recommends approval of three applications under the Film Tax Credit Program. We have received written confirmation from an outside firm hired to review the production budgets that they are reasonable by industry standards. All of the content has also been reviewed and recommended for approval under the Act by the New Jersey Motion Picture and Television Commission. Total credits utilized across the three recommended approvals today is $1.67 million. The first application is Eye on the Ball Enterprises, Inc., who will produce Severance S1. We are recommending an award of $559,428. The second application is Metro Park LLC, who will produce Metro Park Season 2. We are recommending an award of $295,275, which includes a diversity bonus of $18,000 and a location bonus of $6,335. The third application is Red Hippo Productions, Inc., who produced Death Saved by Life. We are recommending an award of $812,419, which includes a diversity bonus of $49,725 and a location bonus of $16,810. As mentioned, each project needs its own separate vote. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, are we ready for a vote? Sorry, I was wondering why I wasn't getting any feedback. I was on mute. First item of the three that we'll be voting on is Eye on the Ball Enterprises. Maximum amount of tax credits is $559,428. Can I get a motion to approve?
Marlene Caridi Holmes.
Thank you, Marlene. Can I get a second? Can I get a second here?
Second, Board Member Wilson.
Second, Marcia.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Any more discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right. Item two, Metro Park LLC. Maximum tax, maximum amount of tax credits, $285,275.80. Can I get a motion to approve?
Angela.
Thank you, Rob. Can I get a second?
Second, Wilton.
Thank you, Brian. Any more discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, last item under the film tax credit, Red Hippo Productions, maximum amount of tax credits of $812,419.43. Can I get a motion to approve?
So moved, Wilton.
Second, Elijah.
Thank you, Phil. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, moving on to the next part of our agenda, loans, grants, and guarantees. This is all under the purview of the Director's Loan Review Committee. Marcia Marley, would you like to make a few comments about the work of your committee over the last month?
Yes, thank you, Cameron. The Director's Loan and Review Committee evaluated and discussed two loan requests of $1 million each from the Edison Innovation VC Growth Fund to support New Jersey-based companies, one for Forefront Telecare, a leading provider of behavioral telehealth services. Forefront provides an integrated platform to support the delivery of telepsychiatry and related behavioral health clinical services to seniors in hospitals, long-term care facilities, and home health settings. The second loan request is to HiQA, which provides innovative, comprehensive quality management systems to firms. I want to thank the staff for their thorough evaluation of the company's financials, possible risks, as well as the inclusion of reference inquiry summaries. Really appreciated. Both of these loan requests advance EDA's mission of supporting growth, fostering innovation, and supporting industries with high-quality jobs in our state. The committee also reviewed a change to delegated authority for the microbusiness loan program. Chairman, I am pleased to see these proposals move to the board for consideration. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Marcia. So the first item under in this area is the Forefront Telecare Incorporated Growth Capital. Tim Rollander, Director of Venture Programs, presenting. Tim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Ms. Marley. I appreciate it. Today we request approval for $1 million Edison Innovation Fund VC growth loans for Forefront Telecare, Inc. with growth capital to expand its management team, technology platform, and business operations. Based in Hamilton, New Jersey, Forefront Telecare was formed in 2010 and started multi-state commercial psychiatric encounters in 2016. Today, Forefront provides a telemedicine solution that includes in-facility equipment, training, scheduling, technical and logistical support, and secure audio-video connections between providers and their patients. They focus on connecting small and often remote facilities in primarily rural locations to providers licensed in their states as a means for them to connect on a regular and clinically optimal basis. Led by Repeat CEO Rob Rebeck, the company is active and growing from 30 states today. Speaking to staff diligence process, following application, the company presented before EDA's Technology Advisory Board, receiving unanimous positive feedback, supported in reference calling. The company received meaningful support from dedicated and sophisticated investors. Staff's financial analysis showed Forefront generated several years of strong revenue growth, and the company has sufficient funding to support ongoing operations through the company's presented plan. Consistent with the Edison VC Growth Loan Program parameters, the company will receive 20% of the committed amount of the loan at closing, with the balance of the loan dispersed via milestones over the next 12 months. Milestones are currently under negotiation. Principal and interest payments will occur from months 12 through month 60. As additional conditions of closing, EDA will assume a board observer seat, and the company has committed to growing 10 jobs in New Jersey for the next 2 years. But we appreciate your consideration, and I'm happy to answer questions, if any.
Questions for Tim? If we have no questions for Tim, can I get a motion to approve?
Motion.
Elizabeth Dragon, motion to approve.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Can I get a second?
Second, Elijah.
Thank you, Phil. Any discussion? There's no discussion. All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, next item on the agenda is HiQA, Inc. Tim Rollander, Director of Venture Programs, presenting. Tim.
Thank you, sir. We are requesting approval for $1 million Edison VC Fund growth loan to support HiQA, Inc. that will help support growth capital needs, including product development, marketing, and business development for HiQA. Based in Hazlet, New Jersey, HiQA provides a comprehensive quality management system, a software platform that enables companies to automate and integrate their manufacturing, quality processes, and quality supply chain management to manufacture and deliver high-quality intolerance parts on time and within budget. The technology was developed in-house by experienced founder Sam Galan and his team with the initial HiQA product launched in 2016. With advancements in manufacturing and product complexity, there's increasingly greater room for error in procurement, manufacturing, and assembly. HiQA's platform can mitigate potential errors, be they small or potentially catastrophic. It increases efficiencies, increases quality, standardizes best practices, and saves cost against the current manual processes and myriad of alternative piecemeal systems that attempt to fulfill the same functions. Again, speaking to staff diligence process following application, the company presented before EDA's Technology Advisory Board, receiving unanimous positive feedback, supported in staff reference calling. The company received meaningful support from dedicated and sophisticated investors, and the staff's financial analysis showed Forefront generated several years of strong revenue growth, and the company has funding to support operations through the company's presented plan. Consistent with the Edison VC Growth Loan Program, the company will receive 20% of the committed amount of the loan at closing, with the balance of the loan dispersed via milestones over the next 12 months, and milestones are, again, currently under negotiation. Principal and interest payments will occur from months 12 through 60. As additional conditions of closing, EDA will assume a board observer seat, and the company has committed to growing 10 jobs in New Jersey in the next 10 years. So thank you again, and happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Tim around HiQA, Inc.? There's no questions for Tim. Can I get a motion to approve?
Motion to approve, Marcia.
Thank you, Marcia. Can I get a second? Can I get a second, folks?
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Aisha. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, let's move to the next item on the agenda, the Micro Business Loan Program. Changes to delegated authority. Christina Fuentes, Managing Director, Community Development and Small Business Services. Christina.
Thank you, Chairman and Board members. This action item is simply just adding staff to the existing list of EDA employees who currently have delegated authority for non-discretionary declines regarding the EDA Micro Business Loan Program. So this memo simply will just capture the internal staffing title changes that affected this program. Happy to take any questions.
Any questions for Christina? There's no questions for Christina. Can I get a motion to approve?
Elizabeth Dragon. Marlene
to approve.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Can I get a second?
Marlene, could you second?
Thank you, Marlene. Any discussion? There's no discussion. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, next item on the agenda, the Petroleum Underground Storage Tank Program. Summary of NJDEP Petroleum UST Remediation Upgrade and Closure Fund. Project is Gordon and Hyacinth Luke. David Lawyer, Managing Director, Underwriting, presenting.
Thank you. This is a request for a $103,092 grant under NJDEP's Residential Underground Storage Tank Program. The proceeds will be used to remove a leaking underground storage tank and complete the required remediation at the applicant's primary residence. Since this request exceeds $100,000, board approval is required. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, David. Any questions for David? There's no questions for David. Can I get a motion to approve?
Elizabeth Dragon, motion to approve.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Can I get a second?
Kathy Brennan, second.
Thank you, Kathy. Any more discussion? There's no discussion. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, next item on the agenda, the Hazardous Discharge Site Remediation Fund. This is a summary of the NJDEP Hazardous Remediation Fund projects approved by the Departmental of Environmental Protection. Projects in Middlesex County, BDA, Perth Amboy Waterfront Park. David Lawyer, Managing Director, Underwriting, presenting. David.
Thank you. Under DEP's Hazardous Discharge Site Remediation Program, we have two approval requests totaling $2.89 million. Both of these requests require board approval, as each requested amount exceeds our $100,000 staff delegation. The first is from Middlesex County in the amount of $2.69 million. The proceeds will be used to fund costs associated with remedial action at a former industrial site in Perth Amboy, having potential environmental areas of concern. This is a supplemental award, as the members approved an initial grant of $4.13 million, also for remedial action at our May 2017 board. It is the applicant's intent upon full site remediation to redevelop the site into a public park.
All right, any questions for David on the first item under the Hazardous Discharge Site Remediation Fund? There's no questions for David. Can I get a motion to approve?
Elizabeth Dragon, motion to approve.
Sorry, just to clarify that, in this case, the vote and the motion is actually for both projects.
Okay, so...
Well,
all right.
So, Dave, yeah, you may want to explain the second one.
Okay. The second request is from the Township of West Orange in the amount of $195,126. The proceeds will be used to fund costs associated with remedial investigation at the site, which is a former dry cleaning and apparel supply facility. This is a supplemental award, as EDA staff under delegate authority in January of 2020 approved an initial grant of $63,956. Also for remedial investigation. It is the applicant's intent upon full site remediation to redevelop the site for mixed use.
All right. Thank you, David. I'm sorry for the confusion around that, everyone. So we're going to have a single vote on both of these items. Can I get a motion to approve?
Elizabeth Dragon, motion to approve.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Can I get a second?
Second, Marcia Marley.
Thank you, Marcia. Any discussion? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, the next portion of our agenda falls under the purview of the Real Estate Committee. Charles Charlo is our chair of real estate. Charles, would you like to say a few words?
Sure. Thank you, Chairman. The Real Estate Committee actually didn't have the opportunity to meet this month. There is only one matter on. It's a lease, a five-plus year lease for the New Jersey Bioscience Center at North Brunswick. The EDA real estate staff did brief the EDA board committee, real estate committee members by email, and the committee members did have the opportunity to ask any questions on this one matter. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Charles. First item, and only item under real estate, is the New Jersey Bioscience Center at North Brunswick, 685 South Route 1, North Brunswick, Middlesex County lease agreement with MIR Scientific LLC. Liza Nolan, Senior Project Officer, Real Estate presenting. Liza.
Thank you, Chairman. The board is asked to approve executing a 63-month lease agreement with MIR Scientific for 14,662 square feet of both lab and office space, as mentioned at the New Jersey Bioscience Center. MIR is a privately held bioscience healthcare firm established in 2014, currently based in New York. They are focused on transforming cancer management by providing early and accurate detection, characterization, and monitoring of disease. Last fall, MIR published results from its major validation study for its trademarked Sentinel prostate test, and they have been planning to commercialize and move forward with that. Since October of last year, MIR has been leasing smaller space within the Bioscience Center under a short-term lease. MIR is current in their existing lease payments and will terminate that short-term lease upon the execution of this new lease. MIR anticipates that 9 employees will initially work out of the lab, and they expect to soon hire 15-plus new employees at the Bioscience Center. Of note, MIR will undertake a significant amount of tenant improvements that EDA will review. They will pay for those improvements at their own cost. EDA will provide a credit of approximately $107,000 to cover flooring and painting work items, which EDA normally undertakes. Since MIR's lab does require CLIA certification and licensing, if they cannot obtain that by December 1st of this year, MIR will have a one-time early termination right, but will pay a penalty amount and must restore the space. Outlined in the board memo are just the general lease provisions, including the initial market rent, 3% annual rent increases, renewal options, and provision of 3 months free rent in year two. We do require a 4-month security deposit, and that MIR's parent company will guarantee the lease. If the board approves, staff will work with the Attorney General's office to finalize and execute a lease consistent with the board memo lease summary before you. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Liza. Any questions for Liza? There's no questions for Liza. Can I get a motion to approve?
So moved, Charles Sarlo.
Thank you, Charles. Can I get a second?
Elizabeth Dragon.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, moving on. Board memoranda. Tim Sullivan, CEO, presenting. Tim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have in your board books five routine
delegated authority memos for your information and reference. I'll just highlight one of them just in the interest of time, the credit underwriting memo. We approved 17 micro business loan program applications under delegated authority. Recall that was a program that launched last summer, not explicitly a COVID program per se, but it's a small and micro business, just a micro business focused program. So a part of the economy that's been devastated by COVID-19. And so a heavy focus there. 17 different loans approved under that program for nearly $500,000 in investment in small business, in addition to the grant programs that our team's been responsible for. So lots going on in various different programs, particularly in small and micro business, and almost all of it with a heavy COVID flavor and a heavy equity and inclusion flavor as well. With that, Mr. Chairman, back to you.
Great. Thank you, Tim. All right, the last, almost our last item on the agenda is our public comment period. First, I'd like Danielle Esser to read the New Jersey EDA's public comment policy and process for this telephonic board meeting, as well as the availability of COVID-19 resources for businesses seeking information. Danielle, our Director of Governance, it's all yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As stated by the operator at the beginning of the meeting, members of the public interested in providing public comment can press 1, then 0 on their phone to be registered to speak, which will place each person into a queue based on the order received. Given the number of the members of the public on the call today, we'd like to go over NJEDA's public comment policy at this time, which is also available on the NJEDA website. Each speaker will be prompted by the operator to speak one at a time. Each speaker should announce his or her name, organization, affiliation, and the topic on which your remarks will be given. Each speaker will have a maximum of 3 minutes to speak and should limit their comments to matters pertaining to the authority. Staff will prompt the speaker once their time has expired. The speaker may not register to speak more than once during the same public comment period to ensure enough time is available for all of those who wish to speak. And certainly speakers may submit any related documents via email to staff. On COVID-19 availability for businesses, information for businesses. For members of the public seeking information on COVID-19 resources for businesses, we direct you to cv.business.nj.gov, which is staffed by business advocates at the New Jersey Business Action Center. This site includes a chat feature staffed to answer your business-related questions to COVID-19. You can also call the state's COVID-19 business hotline, 8 a.m., to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday at 1-800-JERSEY-7 or 1-800-537-7397. This portal can also be accessed directly from the NJEDA main page, njeda.com. We look forward to receiving your public comments at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 1, then 0 on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw your question at any time by repeating the 1-0 command. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have any questions, you may press 1, then 0 at this time. One moment for our first question. And we have a question from the line of Elena Lavarita. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yep. Hi, Elena. Tim.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes,
hi,
Tim.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Elena Lavaretta, and I am the New Jersey Political Director at SEIU Local 32BJ, which is a union of 13,000 janitors and other building service workers across the state. I'm here to say a few words on the Emerge program. First, we want to applaud the NJEDA again for including a building service prevailing wage requirement in the Economic Recovery Act programs, ensuring that subcontracted cleaners and security officers at Emerge projects are paid family-sustaining wages and benefits. We submitted written comments on the Emerge rules and have begun a constructive dialogue with Tim Sullivan, Brian Sabina, and other members of the staff regarding our recommendations. I'd like to thank NJEDA for modifying the rules to clarify that building service prevailing wage will apply for the full duration of the commitment period. We also appreciate EDA's commitment to transparency and community input throughout the rulemaking process and in the implementation of the Emerge program. And we believe the NJEDA board has a crucial role to play in realizing that commitment to transparency and community input. That's why we've called for adequate advance notice of board meetings to review eMERGE projects, including a 30-day comment period during which stakeholders can submit written comments. A 30-day comment period will give board members the opportunity to hear from the community board before the meeting so that the meeting can be used for meaningful discussion. It will also ensure that those who cannot attend in person have the opportunity to voice their support or concerns regarding a proposed eMERGE project. We've also called for a posting of a eMERGE application in advance of board meetings so that the members of the public can prepare fully, can prepare and be fully informed and submit relevant comments. After discussing with the staff, we understand that such notice requirements will not be included in the rules and would be better addressed through staff policy or through a board resolution. We look forward to continuing the dialogue and working with NJEDA staff and the board members on this issue of public notice. Thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thank you.
And once again, if there are any additional questions, please press 10 at this time. We'll go to the line of Ben Williams. Please go ahead.
Hi. I had a quick question about the eMERGE program special adopted rule. Do you guys know when that will become effective? You may have mentioned it already, but I just wanted to confirm.
Brian or Tim, do you want to tackle that one?
Yeah, there's two pieces of this, Ben. There's some technical things that have to happen from this meeting now that we have the approval of the board, including publishing and I forget the exact name of the place where it has to be published, but it has to be published in the next couple of weeks. Then they'll be effective as soon as it's published there on a temporary basis for 180 days. And then simultaneously, these rules will be going out for public comment under the Administrative Procedures Act and will be finalized and formalized again in the fall. Brian, do you have an exact date on when we expect to publish?
Tim, this is Chris Baker. Sorry to interrupt here. Just one point of clarification. Would be effective upon filing rather than publication. And our best guess at this point is on or about May 20th. No guarantees, but that's our estimated or anticipated filing date.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
Of the special adopted rule?
Yes.
Correct.
Thank you.
And we have no further questions in queue. Please continue.
All righty. Thank you, operator. If there are no additional comments, I'd like to thank everyone for their participation. I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting. Can I get a second?
Fred Dumont, second.
Thank you, Fred. All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you, everyone. Thanks for all the hard work, EDA staff. This concludes our meeting.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you to the board. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye. Thank you, and that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using AT&T Conferencing Service. You may now disconnect.
We're sorry. Your conference is ending now. Please hang up.